Father God, as we prepare to open your word together, we ask that you will breathe your spirit into our midst. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. The season of Christmas, we celebrate God coming in the flesh to walk with us. The baby Jesus, who becomes a man, who walks with, teaches, loves his people. And let's reflect a little more on who he is in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. The word of the Lord. People of God, I'd like to do a little theology with you this morning. Now, theology, the word, comes from two Greek words that are mashed together. Theos, which is God, and logos, which is word. So theology simply means the word about God, or the study of God. Theology often starts with the main questions of the mind. Is there a God? If so, who is God? What is God like? Can we know anything at all about this God? As Christians, we point to revelation as the source of the answer. We know that there is a God because God has shown himself to people in the past who wrote down their experiences, the Bible. One people's collective experience of God ongoing for more than 2,000 years, and he continues to show himself to people today. He speaks to people in dreams, he answers prayers, he performs miracles, and he changes hearts. And perhaps in answering these questions of the mind, we'll talk about the Logos, the word that became flesh. Jesus, when God showed himself to us by coming to literally walk with us so that we could see who he is. And then we encounter questions from the heart. Suppose there is a God. We know there is a God. Does this God even know or care about us? If he is the creator of the whole universe, perhaps he stands at a distance from us. If he created all this vast cosmos, he has plenty to think about and do. We are just a backwater planet in a massive, massive universe. So how would a God who is the creator out that, does he even know anything about us? Does he care? Does God understand what life is like for us? Does he hear us when we call out to him? Does he even care? And that question may stick a little hard sometimes, because even when we read the Psalms, we see that people who were there in history said, God, where are you? Do you hear me when I call? Why don't you answer? They asked those questions too. But when we hear these questions again, Jesus gives us our answer to that too. And it is this question, that question of the heart, does God care? Does he know us? That the author of the Hebrews answers. One of the central themes we hear in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus has come to be human being to serve as a high priest. And in our text today, that is the emphasis, that our high priest became human to serve a purpose. So let's first reflect on Jesus' role as high priest. Now, the high priest was a man that was chosen from the people, so he was just a human being, but he was chosen by God, I don't know if he was chosen by the people. I think he might have been at some level. But the high priest served in the temple in a special way. He was the primary mediator between God and his people. He was responsible for the spiritual direction of the whole nation. It was a big responsibility. And once a year, it involved a special task. The high priest would prepare a sacrifice and take it into the Holy of Holies, what was essentially the very presence of God. And he would make an appeal to God on behalf of the nation, sacrificing an animal to atone for their sins. That sacrifice would lift God's anger off the nation so that they could come before God as clean and innocent in his sight, as forgiven of their sins. Our text talks about Jesus as our high priest. And he became human for a purpose. And that purpose is identified in verse 14. It says, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We can think about this as though all of us as humanity is in prison, okay, in slavery to sin, under the thumb of Satan, the jailer. How does Jesus come to free us? He can only do it by entering into that prison himself to break our chains. Only then can he free his people from the grip of sin and death. Unfortunately for us, if we are in prison, it is for a reason. We have earned our chains. And in God's book, it is like we all have the death penalty. We are sitting in prison under that threat of death. That we have done things. We have fallen short. We have made mistakes. We have consciously chosen to do things that have earned us punishment and death. So in order to free us from our chains, Jesus must make amends for what we have done wrong. He can't just do a jailbreak. He can't just break our chains and shoo us all out. He has to pay the price for us. So Jesus takes on our sentence. As a high priest, he can carry our burden before God. He takes our sin on him, our death penalty on him. And he sacrifices himself in order to pay the price for our sentence, once and for all. For this reason, he had to be made like them, it says, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. He had to enter into our prison to take the penalty that was on our shoulders in order to free us. And it continues, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, when I read these words about Jesus as a high priest, and especially some of the descriptions, I am struck by how warm Jesus is as a high priest. I'm not sure what a high priest would have been like in ancient Israel. Perhaps different men would have carried the role in different ways. Some may have been warm and approachable, with deep pastoral wisdom in the things of God. But others may have been aloof, cold, and professional. In the book of Hebrews, the author paints a picture of Jesus as a high priest who is very gracious and approachable. In our text, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He gets it. He knows what we have had to do, what we've had to carry, the weight that we carry. In chapter 5, verse 2, it says that our high priest Jesus is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. And in chapter 4, because we have a high priest who has suffered and been tempted as we are, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. This is Jesus, our high priest. He is one of us. He is human. He has suffered. He understands the weakness that we battle. He knows how hard life can be. And Jesus takes that knowledge with him into the presence of God, where he represents us, intercedes for us, and administers God's grace. It is the kingdom of God that Jesus comes to bring this to earth. But here, there's another beautiful mystery that's here that I want to dig into a little bit with you. It says in the text, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Now, that brother word is, I think, important to us. Jesus taught us to pray to our Heavenly Father. But when we look at Jesus, we see that in Jesus, God, our Father, became our earthly brother. He became part of the family in a new way, calling us his family, and we are his brothers and sisters. God, the creator of the universe, became my brother, became like a friend, became someone who walked with me in a close way. Now, why would God choose this path of mystery, becoming human, calling us his brothers and sisters? Here are some of my thoughts. Jesus comes to bring the kingdom of God. It is one of the first things he announces. The kingdom of God is at hand. God has come. Okay? Among other things, the kingdom is to be a place where the relationship with God and humanity is made right again. It is to be that place where every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God will be victor. His king will reign on the throne. And Jesus is God's son, his Messiah, his chosen king. Okay? So the question is, if you are coming to be king of the world, why would you do it this way? Why would you become a brother to someone? Well, if any of you are fans of Superman, the Superman universe, perhaps you know one of his greatest adversaries, General Zod. He is a very powerful soldier with the same powers as Superman. Well, General Zod comes to Earth, and he has it in his mind he is coming to rule as king, as emperor, as dictator. And what does he do it? How does he do it? He strolls into the White House, and he stands before the president, and he says, "Kneel before Zod." If we think about, you know, let's think about this. Niccolo Machiavelli is famous for saying that as a leader, it is better to be feared than to be loved. Okay, and that's how General Zod works, right? But why doesn't Machiavelli say that? He says it is easier to rule by fear than by love. The reason? Because you can control whether people fear you. You can't control whether they love you. Our God has come to earth to be our king. But he chooses to come to embrace us as his brothers and sisters, as family, in order to win a kingdom. And that kingdom is not based on fear. Certainly God is worthy of our fear. As C.S. Lewis famously said, he is a lion and he's not a tame one. But God desires our love. It is for that reason that he became human, to earn our trust and our love. God wants us to love him. This is why he decided to come not as a dictator, a king who is a dictator, but a king who was like a brother to us. Well, let's return now to our theology questions. Who is God? For the answer to that, we can look to God's word for all the great stories. God freeing his people from Egypt, splitting the Red Sea. We can talk about God as creator of the universe, a God who describes himself as being just and merciful. But perhaps our best example is in the Word made flesh, Jesus. God making himself small in order to share life, to share our burdens, to lay down his life for us. And that leads to our questions of the heart. Does this God care about us? The picture we hear in our text today is of Jesus as our high priest. He suffers with us. He died for us in order to save us and earn our love. We reflected on those texts that said, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted, dealing gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Knowing that we have a high priest who has suffered and been tempted as we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. When we look at Jesus, we know that he cares. We know that he hears us. We know that he loves us. We know that he will respond. And we know that he intercedes with us before our Heavenly Father. It is this God that we come to worship with our whole lives. A God who is our King. A God who is our High Priest, who goes between to speak on our behalf. But a God who is also our brother. A God who could rule us in fear, but chooses to make himself small in order to earn our love. Jesus is our high priest, ministering to us, understanding us, knowing what we carry, and offering himself in order to free us from our chains, from the death sentence that hangs over our heads. To God, our Father, our brother, our high priest, and our friend, we go to say thank you and to simply say as best we can the words he most wants to hear from us. We love you. Amen.